Good morning, and God bless you. What a joy to be here with you. I've been looking forward to coming to Gorebridge. I had the joy of meeting Mark and Dan several weeks, maybe a month and a half ago or something. And God put something in your heart, and you just have your messages that you want to convey, and then suddenly he changes messages, and as you get closer, it seems like if any of you have ever preached, he does this sometimes to you, and things alter. So I just want to tell you a little bit of my story, and a little bit about why I'm doing what I'm doing. I was born in Lewis, in the Outer Hebrides, just after the revival. I'm not a revival kid, I was post-revival, and it was just an amazing place to be, to grow up and to see that God had been very present. And when I was a little boy, I had a terrible stammer, so I couldn't speak. I did try to speak, but I just couldn't really effectively do that. Unfortunately, I had to go to school with my stammer, and kids have no mercy when it comes to finding someone who has an ailment. So I had to live with that for a long period of time, and it afflicted me terribly. I learned to play guitar, and I found a funny thing happens when you play guitar. I could sing, but I just couldn't introduce the next song. God also seemed to have given me a sense of humor, so I was able somehow to actually speak. And I love to tell lots and lots of stories. And in my attempt to tell stories, I would often find that I would want to tell the punchline, but I couldn't. And everybody would try and give me a punchline, but it wasn't my punchline. It didn't function. I fell into the harbor when I was 7 years old in Stornoway. I was going down for the third time. Everyone was trying to grab me. They had hooks on me. They were trying desperately to pull me in, and they couldn't pull me in. And a man called Kenny McLennan threw off his jacket and dived in, and he plucked me out. That was the first time I was saved. And I honestly don't know if my stammer happened after that or before that, but I know that certainly I had a stammer. At the age of 8, three old ladies called the Beldy sisters called me and would talk to me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? And I used to just couldn't wait to tell them the next verse I'd found. And they said, can we lead you to Jesus? And at the age of 8, they led me to Christ, and I was saved. And it was amazing just to live with him and to walk with him, and not really just to learn about him at that young age. But it took me leaving the island at 17, and I went down to Manchester, and I participated in a class, Fair Like Alpha. And at the end of it, I stood up to speak in tongues. We were to receive the Holy Spirit. And one of the things they talked about was that we would receive tongues. And I didn't know what tongues really were. And I began to just receive the Holy Spirit. And then they said, now speak. And I began to speak in tongues. Wow, I turned around to my friend and said, I just can't believe that. I just spoke in tongues. He said, what did you say? I said, I can't believe I just spoke. And then I burst out crying. Because I could actually say a whole sentence. For us who speak in sentences, you wonder, well, what's the problem? What's the problem? For me, I was blind Bartimaeus. I was by the street. I could see Jesus going by. I was screaming, Lord Jesus, don't pass me by. I was now speaking. This is a miracle. Hallelujah. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how you one day don't speak in tongues, then you do speak in tongues. I don't know how one day you stammer and the next day you don't. I know there's a God in heaven. And that God has been a good, good Father. He's been a faithful, faithful God, and thank you, worship team, for leading us today in such wonderful, wonderful songs. Songs of mercy, songs that remind us that our God is an amazing God. He has taken me throughout the whole world. He has helped me at gunpoint to survive. He has helped me when my car has blown through a bridge into the water. I survived. And what I want to say to you today, there are people out there today who may have a stammer, who may have brokenness of some sort, and they're so desperate. They're so desperate. And the only hope that they have in this world sits in this room. I know we gulp at times to think, well, you know, that's great. You must be talking about the person next to me, because you're certainly not talking about me, because I have got problems. I could tell you my problems forever. I'm a problem person. Your brokenness is so whole compared to what a broken person looks like. They'll take it, okay? So what I've done in my whole life now, I've spent 30-odd years in ministry and 30-odd years in business. I take Christ into the workplace, and I take the workplace a little bit into the church, because, you know, we got a great finance person here, but not every church has a great finance person. I was brought into Clan to help when they had a very bad problem with finance. And for 2 years, I toiled at Clan to help them move. And we actually had a wonderful service here. I remember that, a wonderful service where we were just praising God. And I love this church. I love the essence of this church. I love the fact the kids are free-range kids. There's something about free-range kids, because Christ loved free-range kids. He loved the kids. He wanted the kids forward. He just wanted to be around them. That's where the kingdom of heaven, he would remind us, is. That they're the essence of it. They have a beauty, a gorgeous essence of heaven that's beaten out of them, that's pulverized out of them as they move throughout life. You see, we're safe families for children, because we want to make a difference. We're safe families for children because oftentimes we can't help the adult who's gone through life without any help. But we're desperate that we would not see that repeated. We're the last hope before they go into care. And I thank God for the care system and for those who have attempted so hard to do what church threw out 90 years ago. We threw it away 90 years ago, and we said, you know something, government? We don't want to do the broken anymore. We want you, government, to handle that. We've got business to do. We've got church business to do. But you see, the king is attached to brokenness. The king that we serve, his mission is all to the broken. And if you're not out there helping the broken, you have no mission, no true reality. And he's not working as deeply in you as he could. And if you will dare, and this is so off-piste, if you would dare, we haven't even got the scripture, if you would dare just to dare to connect with brokenness, something amazing happens. For most of us, we want to avoid it like the plague. We want to show the world that we're really quite together. We're church folk. We're good folk. We dress up and we go to that thing, that building, that container. But these containers can be so representative of luxury liners. You see, you join the cruise by your choice. You come in and you set your stall out. You set sail to go somewhere, I don't know where. But unless the captain of salvation's holding that ship, unless he's working and speaking to Mark, the ship can just move 5 degrees. And a 5-degree move over time, you're lost. So many churches get lost. And when you talk to people about church, they say, get lost. They don't want to know about the container. You see, because the truth is, we weren't made to be a luxury liner. We were really made to be a fishing boat. Come, and I will make you fishers of men. But even more than that, we were made to be a lifeboat. So when the boat's sailing over here, And in the water back there, like Titanic, they're screaming, help me, like I was when I was seven, saying, someone help me, help me. The ship's moving over here, but I'm desperate to be dragged out of the water because I'm drowning. And you know this, out in Gore Bridge right now, there are so many people drowning. We feel the pressure of life. I watch my kids try to do life now. And they're all both out working. They're both working their tails off. The kids, we're over there doing some care for the kids because we have to, because they're desperate. And they've got good jobs and a good home. What about those who have no job and no home? This is an amazing verse. Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. That's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is just the same. The only difference is he's changed the vehicle. He said, you see, I'm going to disappear so that I can reappear. I have to disappear so that I can reappear. Because when I reappear, I'm going to reappear in the fullness of all that I am. You will be all in all in all. You'll receive the whole Spirit of God, and you will become Christ to Gore Bridge. Imagine if I said to you, the whole salvation of Gore Bridge depends on you. How does that feel? Just sit with that for a second. The whole of salvation rests on you. Don't think about the church. Don't think about Mark will do it. Okay. Don't think about Dan will do it. Someone else will do it. Just sit, let that sit with you. If it was upon you, boy, would you need him. Amen? Boy, would you need to know there's God and Christ and you reconciling the world back to himself. Would you need to know that? Would you need to know about the workings of the Spirit? A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discern of spirits, faith, miracles, healing. Would you want to maybe have some fruit, be attached to the vine, be fully connected? I want to be fully connected to you, Lord, because this is me and you. It's just me and you. And I want to see love, peace, joy, long-suffering, temperance, meekness. I want to see goodness. I want to see everything flowing through me, Lord, because I'm desperate for you. This is the sharing I want to give you this morning. I was underwater when I was seven. I was coming back up for one more gasp. And I know Kenny McLennan jumped in and got me. But Kenny McLennan was helped by Jesus. And I wonder how many are underwater today, desperately underwater, and they're just looking for, who's going to be my Kenny? Who's going to come into my life and, like Jesus, just pull me out and pull me in? You see, the funny thing is, once we come in, the awkward thing is, we kind of want to stay. We kind of just say, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. And that's it. But what we hear today from the Word, it's not about your sins being forgiven. You've got to get up. You've got to grow up. You can't be at kindergarten lessons all day long. We can't be crawling around the floor spiritually, looking for crumbs, looking for something. Someday we've got to get up. Someday I've got to say, Lord, I want to pray for Phil, and I don't know. I'm going to dare, Father, to say, Phil, I want to pray for your healing, brother. I think you've got a bad leg. And Phil goes like, how would you know I had a bad leg? And I say, Lord Jesus told me. And then you pray. And Phil gets up. And you're more amazed than Phil. Suddenly, Phil finds power in his leg that he didn't know he had. And you're saying, wow, Lord Jesus, what happened there? And what happened there is the Master got about his mission. You see, if we're not going to dare to get involved, he will never have the opportunity to do the resolution in that person's life. But if we will just dare. Smith Wigglesworth, a man who was once not saved and became a powerhouse for God, if ever you've ever read about Smith Wigglesworth, he would say to people, "I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside." What he meant was, Lord Jesus is in here. He has made his home in here, and he's formed himself in me through Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I metamorphosed into a new being. I'm no longer small Jesus, and I'm big man. I'm little man and big Jesus. So when you look at this amazing church, there's just Jesus all over it. You're Jesus to one another. You're Jesus to the broken. You're the only hope of this world. You know, I've heard people say some people could live without God in this world, but they can't live without hope. We're desperate. When we lose hope, we become depressed. And when we become depressed, we take on board so many illnesses in life. Our scripture today is Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 39. On one of the days while Jesus was teaching, some proud religious law keepers and teachers of the law were sitting by him, and they had come from every town in the countries of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was there to heal them. And some men took a man who was not able to move his body to Jesus, and they carried him on a bed. They looked for a way to take the man into the house where Jesus was, but they could not find a way to take him because there were so many people. And they made a hole in the roof where Jesus stood, and they let the bed with the sick man on it down before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And the teachers of the law and the proud religious lawkeepers thought to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks as if he is God? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to them, "Why do you think this way in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? So that you may know that the Son of Man has the right and the power on earth to forgive sins." He said to this man, who could not move his body, "I say to you, take up your bed and go to your home." And at once the sick man got up in front of them, and he took his bed and went to his home, thanking God. And all those who were there were surprised and gave thanks to God, saying, "We have seen some special things today." Oh, I love God. I love His Word. You've got to become passionate about the Word before it ever enters in here. You know that? You've got to know the gospel. Because someone's going to say to you, "How do you know that?" And I say, "Well, I know because that's what the Word says." You've got to be passionate to chase after the Holy Spirit. Because if you chase after the Holy Spirit, it says, "Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and ye shall find." You're going to find Him. Okay, it may take chasing. If ever you read Tommy Tenney's book, God Chasers, you may sometimes, you know, you're right here. You're begging to know more. You want to know more. And suddenly God turns around. He sees that you really want to know Him. And He picks you up. And there's this amazing divine exchange. I don't know if you've found that divine exchange yet. It's waiting for you. And at that point in time, you know that God is at work within you both to willing to do of His good pleasure. You know that He's more desperate to work and show His goodness to Gore Bridge than you are. Because most of us are sheep. Most of us, honestly, we're scared. This is the most scary thing that most people do. Stand up and talk about something. I don't do this in my strength. I do this. If God doesn't show up, you're going to see maybe stammering lips again. You can see a boy going to meltdown. But I rely on Him today. This beautiful passage of Scripture talks about Jesus is in town. Doesn't say what He's preaching. He's in town and healing is present in that place. You know something? When healing is present in this place, and it is, because Jesus is in this place. When healing is present in this place and Gorebridge know about it, this no longer becomes a container with a spire. that people are scared to come in, they're knocking that door down. When they believe answers are inside the church, when we stop trying to look like we're so fixed, we're fixated about being fixed. You know that? We don't want people to see that we're really broken. Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But the king can. The king can. And you know how the king does it? Through you. Through you. Through you. You're never supposed to point at people. Through you. Through you. Through you. That's how he does it. We're all broken. I was driving here this morning and got sat-nav, Shirley. I call her Shirley on my phone. She gets me lost all the time. But she did it today. Classic. She got me off the road, got me down towards Gala Shields. Road says, road blocked. You're not coming this way. Diversion in place. Great. Okay. I don't feel good. I'm on time. I don't want to be late, Mark. I'm getting in trouble. So I thought I better zoom down. And I came, and suddenly no diversion signs are there anymore. I'm now lost. Shirley has no idea. She's wondering why I'm turning around and doing goofy stuff. You know how horrible it felt to be lost? How horrible it feels when you're just by yourself and you're convinced no one else in this community cares. And you know why we don't care so much? We're so busy. Satan's number one tool right now, I'm convinced, he's got us all so busy, we can't even think. If I ask you to do something, totally not. Are you joking? I've got this, 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 and this, and this, and. I've just found out my wife just enrolled us into doing this. I'm maxed. There's nothing I can do. I mean, I am up to here with my stuff. That's how we live life. And Satan says, crack on. Because as long as I keep you busy, you're never going to get around the work, the master's work. If you don't get around the master's work, you'll never find out what's in you. Because if you ever find out what's in you, it'll drive you to heaven's gate. You'll be pulling down heaven. Smith Wigglesworth was nothing without Christ. He was a drunk. And his life became transformed by the power of God. Who wants that? Who wants that? Absolutely. If your hand's not up, I'm wondering, like, what are we doing here? It's like John the Baptist. What did you come out to see today? You didn't come out just for the praise band or for the kids talk or to hear me. I hope we came to meet with him. I just want a little bit more of you. See, if I can get a little bit more of you, I can take that out there. Father, without me, I'm nothing. I'm just broken. I'm just bits. I'm so messed up, it's a joke. But when he's at work within me, oh my goodness. I astonish myself. I'm not kidding. I astonish myself. I was at a wedding yesterday, and this is what came to me. I was at a wedding yesterday, and this whole scripture came to me. It was a man, and his wife had said to me, can you speak to him? Ever since you got him saved, I didn't get him saved, ever since you introduced him to Jesus, He has been saved. He says he's saved, but I've never really seen it. So I'm like wading through the crowd looking for where he is. And I finally say, come on, let's go for a chat. And I said, you know, I use you as an example all the time. We was up at, I can't remember, the airport when we used to do lots of different, invite bands in and they would play. And I wanted to hear a number of these really great bands I love. But I was on mission. You see, I found brokenness, and brokenness took me to the fence, and we sat there, Chris and I, for about 3 hours, and I finally led him to the Lord. And I say, I use you as an example so often, because when I prayed for you, your eyes were black. And I prayed, just pray after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And I led him to the Lord. And when his eyes opened, guess what? There was Jesus. Waving back at me. There was Jesus. And I could see it. I could see it reflected. And it made me cry. And this guy's like going, why are they crying? You know, does prayer make you cry? Is this something that... And I cried because, wow, what a joy we have to be able to lead people to the Lord. Here's this amazing thing. Jesus is in town. Healing is available. The people are coming. And these friends, this is what I call friends. These friends, you see, brokenness is in the man. He can't walk. See, some of you are so broken, you struggle to walk. Some of you who walk would love to run, but running's not in your head right now. Just to walk would be great. Here, this man is so broken, he can't even move. But friends say, look something, we hear that Jesus is in town. Let's be crazy. Let's just pick him up. Let's take him to Jesus. Are you up for that? Let's do it. And they have to pick him up and the weight of him and carry him. I don't know how long they went. Maybe they were in a village a long way away. But they got there, and by the time they get there, inside Jesus is teaching, and there's thousands upon thousands of people thronging in this house. And they can't get near it. You know, they don't use PowerPoint back then. So they're going like, what's he saying? I don't know. He said something about healing. 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 Healing. Wow. And the guy at the 5,000, you know, feet back suddenly gets, he's healing. He's talking about healing. And so it goes back. Boom, 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 boom. It must have been incredible. They couldn't get near it. Couldn't get near the place. But brokenness leads you to do something. Brokenness is trumped by compassion. Whenever you see Jesus do something, it says he stopped by compassion. When he talks about the Good Samaritan and the church folk walk by, remember that parable? Jesus chose the people in the parable. The church folk walk by. I think it's embarrassing, personally, but Jesus said the church folk walk by. And a Good Samaritan, the Samaritan, just read back a chapter before. The Samaritan said, we don't want you near us, Jesus. Do not come into our village. You are not welcome here. And Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero. Who is this Jesus who makes the Samaritan hero and tells the church and shows the church folk skulking off, not wanting to see it? It says the Samaritan was stopped by compassion. It came down to the level of the man. He bound up his wounds. He took him to a safe place. And that's what Safe Family is all about. He took him to a safe place and he said, whatever it costs to take care of this man, when I return, I will pay you. Here's this man is. They arrive there. There are thousands of people. They can't get near him. But compassion is driving them. So he says, come on, there's a way that they can get up to the roof. And up to the roof they went. There's no point being on the roof because you couldn't hear anything or see anything. Unless it's just going to be crazy. You think this church is crazy and wild? And you know that we're going through the roof. Seriously? Yeah, we're going to go through the roof. Boom, boom, they start punching holes. Compassion will punch holes through roofs. Compassion makes a way where there is no way. Compassion is suddenly light coming through. Jesus is still preaching, looking up, and there's dust and all sorts of stuff falling. It's a big hole because you've got a big stretcher to drop down there. And compassion lays their friend at the feet of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about today. Can we find inside us enough compassion that would dare to go to those who are broken for the one purpose? I want to lead you to the feet of Jesus. I don't know whether they'll all get saved. I don't know whether they'll all fill up this church. But I know one thing. It's what the Master asked us to do in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He then says to the man, your sins are forgiven. And the man's still stretched out there. And looking at the Pharisees, looking at these rulers, he says to them, I know what you're thinking. Imagine this power of God working in you. It will. It really will. God will give you revelatory power to know what's happening in a given situation. That's how exciting the walk with Christ is. And he says, I know what you're thinking. Is it easy for me to say, get up, your sins are forgiven, or get up, rise up and walk? But so you know that I have power, I say to this man who's still not walking, he's nothing, all he's happened to him is his sins are forgiven, get up and walk. And he gets up and he walks. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You were so broken, you couldn't even walk there, let alone run there. You're so broken, and suddenly you're up on your feet. It says he gave thanks. He would have been out of his skull. Yeah, but Daniel, look at this. And the guys up at the top are going, yay, well done, he's healed. They're running down the stairs, they're meeting him, and the crowds are splitting in half. This man's just been healed. Oh, my goodness, this man's just been healed. Who wants that for Gore Bridge? I do. I want to see the doors battered down. I want to see the broken come in. I want to see you who right now don't believe it's you. You think I'm talking about someone else. I want to see you at the point where you're praying for someone and they become whole. And you go, oh my goodness, I just got connected. You see, when you connect with brokenness, that's when you come alive. There's something in us that never happens until we connect with brokenness. I don't need the Holy Spirit if all I'm going to do is stay at home and just do nothing. I don't need the power. He said, it's not about your sins be forgiven. And most church folk, let's be honest, we're at the point where I'm saved. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If it all happens to me tonight, you know, whatever happens, I'm saved. I am saved. Okay, my sins are forgiven. But what Jesus is saying, it's not about your sins being forgiven. When are we going to rise up and walk? When are we going to get up and walk? When are we going to dare to just say, I'm going to just take a testing step of faith. I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe, God, you're going to be there with me. See, when that guy pointed a gun in my face and said, I'm thinking the three of us are going to rape your girlfriend, I didn't know what to say. I was in the back of a van. I took the wrong hitch. We got on the wrong van. The guys were drunk. I didn't know what to do. And I said, holding a pair of my sweaty socks inside my backpack, if you dare to do that, I can't tell you what I said. But I said I would blow certain parts of his anatomy off the earth. My sweaty socks. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't even know why God would even say that to me. They stop the van, and I slide out of the van with my backpack. The girl has gone before me, and I'm holding my sweaty socks and faith. I'm so scared. And they slam the door closed, and they drive off for about 100 feet. And they had all these big old guns in the back of the car, and I was thinking, they're going to come out here and pop us off. But they drove away. You see, I don't know why we get into situations like this, but if I didn't have God to call on that day, I most likely wouldn't be here. There are people out there, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, who are desperate to know you. You're the only hope they have in this world. And I just say it's time for us to get up and walk. It's a beautiful statement by Vance Havner. I didn't know who Vance Havner was. Does anyone know here who Vance Havner is? Apparently, look it up on Wikipedia, apparently he's one of the great evangelists of the American church. Never heard of him. But he says this, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power. Don't be scared of brokenness. It's okay to be broken, but we come to the healer and say, Lord Jesus, heal me, help me, and take my brokenness to this world. You can grab those scriptures. There is something about you and brokenness. When you connect to brokenness, you find a certain amount of rest, even though you're tired. Even though you say, I just don't have the time. You're joking? Another commitment? When you connect to brokenness, it's his mission. You find rest. It's the upside down world of what Jesus connects us with. So this is what I want you to do before we close here today. I want you to recognize that you're broken and in need of a constant Savior. Paul says, I was saved, I am saved, and I will be saved. What was he saying? I have been saved to eternal life. I have to become saved to my mental state, because I have to renew my mind. And one day, I only see through a glass darkly. One day, I will see him face to face. I'll be perfect in all my ways. So this is the ways that you can come and connect with us. We have three types of volunteers. The first kind is everyone. So there's not anyone here who could not do this, okay? It's called a resource friend. It just simply says somebody has a need. Jenny only ever feeds her children from the food bank, but her microwave just broke. And now the kids are going to have to eat cold food bank food. We want to avoid that. So we just send around all of our volunteers and say, who wants to put in a pound for Jenny's microwave? And the pastor goes and delivers the microwave. And when he delivers it, he says, you know, Jenny, here's your microwave. I hope the kids enjoy some hot food. But how are you? How are you? What's going on in your life? How can we get around you? You've got no community, but how can we come around you? The second is a family friend. It's just someone who says, can I meet you for an hour next Friday? I know you're down. I know you're depressed. I know you don't have a friend in the world, but I'd like to be there with you. See, I'm not asking you to come and knock doors and say, hi, we're here from the church. Do you know Jesus? Poof. What was that? That was the door. Wow. We all love those. Let's be honest. We can't wait to go on one of those. We hope you say, Mark, please don't send us out on one of those. We're talking about when you go to the door and you knock the door and they say, are you from Safe Families? Please come in. Who wants to be part of that? Hallelujah. Who wants to tell them about Jesus and say, come on in. Come on in. Sit back down. Tell me all about it. Okay? And the last one is a host family. So to avoid a child going into care, mom and dad, something's happened, and the child's going to go into care, we say, look, don't put them into care. Let us hold them just for a weekend. Let them be part of our family for the weekend. And then on Monday, when mom and dad have got it all together, whatever they have to get together, we'll give them back to you. But they don't go into care. Isn't that a great program? What an amazing God program is this? All it did was a church person came alongside them for a little while, and they journeyed with them for maybe a week or a month or a few months. And then they found community. This is community to you. These are your friends. This is community. My daughter came back to me. I was running a £25 million company down in London. It was going south. I'd been brought in as the mentor. Oh my goodness, scary. Mentor to turn this company around. I went there by faith. I do everything by faith. I can't do anything by myself. I'm not very well educated. I'm not very well qualified. I'm not very well skilled. So I have to go by faith. And they said, we'll pay you anything if you will just help us. We'll pay you anything. And so they paid me the biggest amount of money I've ever been given in my life. I couldn't believe it. I mean, as I was looking, this is just unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus. And it was resource after the time I'd been with Clan, because my salary with Clan wasn't very big. And I just felt, this is God's house. This is the way he operates. He goes like, oh, windows of heaven are opening. You know, take a load of that. And I was just looking at this paycheck. It's phenomenal. And I did it for 2 years, and the company started to go back up again. Only God. So much that in a board meeting, we have this board meeting, and they say, Don, we want to thank you for being here, for turning the numbers around, and for the culture. The whole culture's changed in our company. And I said, I just want to thank God. And I thought I was in a Clan executive meeting, and I was making this statement, and I suddenly realized my hand was up there. I just thanked God in a board meeting, and I pulled my hand down. And the chairman said, can we have the marketing report? And afterwards, he came up and said to me, did you really mean thank God? I mean, when you said that, did you really mean that? But I was meaning that. My daughter came to us. She was crying desperately. She was blubbing. And she said, Dad, I just found out. And we were scared because Josh is only 17 months old. He's our grandson. Dad, she says, I've just found out I'm going to have twins. I said, wow, how fantastic. But she was crying. She said, Dad, I can't do it. Dad, you don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying, I really can't do it. And my wife, who's a counselor down in Peace and Jesus, was going to give up her work, and she does amazing work, amazing work. And I said, no, I'll stop London, and I'll come back home. And I became Papa. So for 2 years, I became Papa on the plague floor, where the toys are. And I used to think to myself, if only the board could see me now, they'd be, you know, because you'd feel goofy. When you were grandkids, you're just goofy. And I just think, if only they could see me. Here I am. I was in this salary, I had this position, and now here I am, Papa. I have no more boardroom into the playroom. So why do I say this? Is this is what these people have been touched with. They've been touched with something. This is what drew me to Save Families, because I could do it. I could stop work for 2 years. I had the money to do it. I had the resource to do it. But what happens when that happens to a woman who has nothing, and she has nowhere to go, she has no community, she has no family? Where does she turn? She calls up the council, and she says, "Council, I'm going to commit suicide. Council, I'm going to go nuts. I do not know what to do." And they say, "Oh, it's okay. Let's call Save Families. And then we send out one of you." And you go and you knock the door, and the door opens and say, "Are you from Save Families?" "Yes, we are. Come on in." And a whole relationship begins that could end up in amazing transformation. So that's all I'm saying, is that we work with all these churches, with all these local authorities. We're working with Midlothian right now. We're looking for a new contract. We've been given 120 referrals in Edinburgh. That means 120 people get referred to us, who we refer to churches, and then it becomes transformative. 3,800. I hope we can make that 4,000 today by the time I leave. What this is, I thought this was wonderful. This is pastor working. This is pastor working today. When he picked that verse, and I thought, yeah, come on. As you've done it for these little ones, you do it for me. Don't do it for Save Families. Do it because it's your mission. Don't do it for an organization, what's really what the church should be doing anyway. It's not about Save Families. It's about how do you take Christ back into the homes of people who are desperate. So I want to thank you today for listening to us.